A Woman's View with Amanda Dixon. A look at the news here at home and around the world, all from the perspective of women. Now, Amanda Dixon on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome to A Woman's View here on KSL News Radio. Such a treat this week to have Angela Kroll with me, the Director of Major Gifts and Corporate Sponsorships with Ballet West. Hello, Angela.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm doing so good. And Crystal Young is with us this week, a lobbyist here in Utah. How are you, Crystal?
I am great. Thanks for having me today.
It's so good to see you as well. I wanted to ask you too, and I don't know why this set me off. Well, I guess I do know why. I read this story this week and it just chapped my hide. I found myself sort of stewing about it. And it was a story about bonuses on Wall Street. Now, I guess I've always known that, you know, those people make a lot of money back there. But all we hear all the time lately is about inflation and how it's affecting families and how, you know, the price of eggs is, you know, and for people living close to the poverty line, this is a real deal. And I read this week that the average bonus on Wall Street went down last year, down to $176,500. That's a bonus. A bonus of almost $200,000. I guess I don't understand that world where a person, even a person who works that many, could, and at the same time, we're requiring families living close to the poverty line to deal with what they're dealing with. I know that, you know, this is capitalism and markets rule and all of that, but Angela, can you help me wrap my brain around this?
Yeah, I think it's really difficult to see this kind of continuing, you know, profits without really prosperity for everybody. So, you know, I get that those that work on Wall Street, they work really long hours and they live in the most expensive city in the world, one of them. So I'm not going to malign them, but I think it's more just about this culture that we have, maybe a corporate culture where, you know, for the first 30 years after World War II, we saw that companies were reinvesting their profits into growth and they were continuing to reinvest that. And what we were seeing was that that was kind of raining down on everybody and it was kind of lifting all boats, you know. And right now, especially over the last couple decades, what we've seen is that almost for the, you know, the vast majority of companies in the top 500, they are reinvesting their profits, not in the company, but actually in stock buybacks. And so what's ending up is that these companies are not kind of raining down this prosperity on everybody, but just on a very few. And I think that's what's really difficult. We're seeing this just growing income inequality. And I think it's just really hard. And I think it's really starting to just impact the way that this next generation is seeing the world.
Absolutely. Speak to this, Crystal.
I mean, $176,000 is definitely more than I make right now in a year.
Same.
I'd love for that to be my bonus. I agree with everything that Angela said. I think the tricky part is, what is the regulatory solution, if any? What is the policy solution, if any? Is it government's job? Is it more of a people asking for and expecting better for themselves when they negotiate their incomes? Is maybe the regulatory or policy solution the, you know, the state offers so many resources at Department of Workforce Services that a lot of people don't know are there that can really help you, you know, get to that next jump up in your career? And maybe the policy solution is either government more proactively advertising what they can do, or maybe since they have the tax records, they look at families and see, you know, let's identify 20 to work with hands-on and really help guide them into, why is it you're working minimum wage? What's your education? How do we get you into this next level up? I mean, I certainly don't think it's a tenable or even a good policy solution for government to tap bonuses or whatever. I mean, at a minimum, though, we should all be fairly taxed, and that's not happening. So that certainly is one regulatory issue that could address that very fast.
It's a great question of, you know, what is government's role, if any, in this situation? I read something the other day. I was reading a book and the author said that the GI Bill, you know, which my father included when he came home from World War II, he and millions of Americans benefited from the GI Bill. And everyone got this college education and it lifted the middle class in this fantastic way. And the author said the GI Bill would never pass today because it would be considered socialism. And no one would even consider that kind of, you know, government largesse or whatever. I thought, you know, when the unions negotiated for better contracts, the auto workers, I heard so many people blaming the unions for the price of their vehicle. No one stopped to blame the CEOs and the people who took the $200,000 bonuses, but they blamed the unions. Speak to that, Angela, if you would.
You know, I work for a company and we work with lots of unions. So we work with we have our dancers union. We have IATSE, which is, you know, kind of works with all of kind of the trades and those who help to put on the production. And there's such value in that collective bargaining that they're able to really provide, you know, safe working conditions. They're able to provide a living wage for those who are doing that work. And so they're not being taken advantage of. And for me, I see that as a really great thing for, you know, for the people who are putting on these incredible productions to be able to have that safety in the workplace and ensure that, you know, that they are going to make the wage that works for them and to be able to protect them. You know, for dancers, it's really interesting because what the unions do, they'll set out and say, well, look, you know, they need a safe stage. It has to be a sprung floor that they need to dance on because that's what's going to preserve their bodies for a long period of time. And if we're just looking at the bottom line, you know, if they don't have that collective bargaining and we're just looking at the bottom line, those individual employees are not going to be able to advocate for themselves the same way that the group of employees are. And so there is a great value in that. So I do see that.
Thank you for that. Let me take a quick break. We'll be right back. My guest this week, Angela Kroll, is here with Crystal Young. Back in a moment. Thank you.